For through him, meaning Jesus, we both, Jew, Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. I want you to listen to me. That is one of the greatest, most anointed scriptures in the Word of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome to the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians today with the message he's titled, Never Forget. Let's listen in.
Father, we praise you and we thank you for all that you're doing here at Calvary Chapel. And Lord God, we're not fearful. We're not worried, Lord. We don't have the spirit of fear, but we do have a sound mind, and I'm thankful for that, Lord. And Father, we pray now over all of the healthcare workers that are working in the emergency rooms across our nation and, Lord, even around the world. And we pray that the spread of this coronavirus, this whatever this thing is, Lord, let it not touch us. Let it just be dissipated by your sovereign grace. And Lord, we just pray over all the workers, all the first responders, all the nursing homes, all the things that are happening, Lord, knowing that you're with us, that you're leading us, and that you're guiding us. And Lord, I know that the message this morning, even though we're still in Ephesians, boy, what a word for the times that we are living in. I pray you help me to teach it faithfully and accurately, Lord, and all the families at Calvary Chapel, I pray over them, Lord, that you would keep them safe. Many are sheltered in place, Lord, and let no pestilence, let no plague come nigh their dwelling. Now we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. We all say amen. I hope you've turned to Ephesians chapter 2. We are going to begin in verse 11 this morning. And believe it or not, for the first time, we're going to cover more than three verses. We're going to pick up, if you will, our pace because we're going to cover from verse 11 all the way to 22. If we didn't do that, we would not get the full impact of what Paul the Apostle, when he's writing this epistle to the Gentile believers from prison there in Ephesus, we wouldn't get the gist of it. So verse 11 in chapter 2 begins a brand new idea. It begins a brand new section, if you will, but it is so vital that we truly understand it and get a grasp upon it. So verse 11 will take us back to chapter 1. Beginning in verse 10, about God's plan and God's purposes for the ages. Let's read that together. Make sure your Bibles are open at home. Don't slack off, guys. Let's open your Bibles. It says in Ephesians 1:10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, in other words, when history comes to an end, the completion, that God might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both things which are in heaven and those which are on earth in him are literally under the rulership of our Lord. That is the plan of God, and no one can stop the plan of God. Now listen carefully. To understand our text this morning, man, it is so important that we look at it, first of all, historically. We have to remember and go all the way back in the times of Paul, or even in ancient history, that loved one, listen, the world was divided basically into two groups of people. There were the Jews and there were the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, meaning Gentiles just means the nations are those that did not have a covenant with Almighty God. So there was never a time in Paul's day, or before Paul's day, actually, where Jew and Gentile were trying to make any kind of reconciliation with one another. That just wasn't even, man, that was crazy. They wouldn't even think about that. A Jew would not even get around in the presence of a Gentile because they believed that it would defile them. They wouldn't eat with them. Even a Jewish woman who was giving birth, they would not help her if she was in any kind of trouble, because they would say, I don't want my hands dirtied by bringing another Gentile into the world. And for a person to even, a Jew, to marry a Gentile, the family literally had a, well, they conducted a funeral. They considered that person absolutely dead. And more than that, the Pharisees at that time, and Paul was a Pharisee, by the way, and they would pray daily, oh, Lord God, I thank you that I am not a woman, and I thank you that I am not a Gentile. So that was the condition. So the thought of, in that time of Paul, okay, very important to get this because we won't understand the rest of our text. So the thought of the Jews and the Gentiles in that time getting on their knees together and worshiping God together or praying to God together was absolute insanity. For a Jew to call a Gentile brother or sister was double insanity. It's kind of like, you know, if we, you know, here we are in Fort Worth and we decide to, you know, worship with someone from Dallas. You know what I'm saying. You know I'm teasing, by the way. That would be triple insanity, but we're joking about that. Amen. Now, with that background, now we look at verse 11 as Paul tells the Gentile believers in Ephesus to never forget. In other words, remember means never to forget what you used to be. Look what he says. Therefore, going all the way back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, he says, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. So Paul says, listen, guys, you Gentiles, and we're Gentiles. Remember, this was a circular letter. And he says, listen, you need to remember what you were, your true condition before you were saved, even though Paul has already told them their true condition in Christ Jesus. So he calls them Gentiles in the flesh. Now, it's not being used in this text or even in the Greek as, okay, a Gentile meaning a lost person. He's actually talking about their literal flesh, meaning they were born outside the covenant, a Gentile. They were born or birthed and so forth. And so it says, you who are called the uncircumcision. So that was a term of contempt or reproach. They looked down upon the Jews. So the Gentiles, the were the uncircumcision. The Jews were the circumcision, of course. And it says, there in your Bible, my Bible as well, it says, made in the flesh by hands. So they trusted, the Jews trusted the mark of the flesh, if you will, which was outward more than anything else. So, in other words, their flesh was changed, but their heart wasn't changed at all. And so here, we know those who come to Christ Jesus, every true believer has been circumcised, but we haven't been circumcised in our flesh. Let me read it to you from Colossians 2:11. It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made, listen carefully, without hands. That divine surgery, if you will, it wasn't physical, it was spiritual. So without hands, by the putting off the body of sins by the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, meaning his death, resurrection, his ascension, and so forth. So true circumcision is always inward, meaning the new creation. It is not outward. It says in Galatians 6:15, it says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. In Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul now continues, and he says, remember what you were before you came to Christ in verse 12. He says, at that time, before they were saved, he says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, you guys need to remember, and you know what? We need to remember too, and never forget what it was like to be without Christ before we were born again. To be without Christ, loved one, is the saddest words in the entire Bible. lost, living this life without a purpose, without a plan, and, you know, without a true eternal purpose. As we already have studied, we were dead in trespasses and sins, living for the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind. Can you imagine never praying in the name of Jesus? Never thinking about Jesus? Never discussing Jesus? Never even mentioning his name? That's what it was like for them and for most of us. Jesus wasn't on our mind. We were without Christ. It's interesting that Paul uses the word Christos there, with not Jesus Christ, but Christos, meaning of the anointed one. In Hebrew, that word would be the Messiah, the one who's the Savior of the world. So what Paul was saying, you did not have the Savior of the world. You were without Christ at that time before you were born again. And then he says, remember when you were without citizenship, or literally aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The word commonwealth there means stateless or citizenless. He said, you didn't have a home. You called yourselves Ephesians. You worshiped Diana, but you didn't have a home. You were not citizens of anything. God is the owner of this world. He says, you had no right to the promises of God because God formed a nation for himself who was called Israel. He says, remember when you were without the covenants of God, meaning strangers, having no share, if you will, in the promise of the Messiah. You know what? The Gentiles, they weren't even aware of the promises of God. And not only that, he says, remember when you were without hope, having no hope of any kind. Did you know that all the religions of the world, all of them, they're all hopeless because they're not in Christ? All the religions of the world except one, they are all man-made. They're all backed by the father of lies, the devil. They're hopeless, and they manufacture a human message, and humans love it because they cannot welcome the things of the Spirit unless you're born again. And here we live in a world right now. We have a global crisis that's going on. Our world is so confused. And the majority of the world, they don't even know Christ. Think about that. Oh, that's what you call utter hopelessness. You know, archaeologists have found there in the first century, they were excavating cemeteries in Greece and Rome. And here's what it says, and they found many tombstones which bear upon them the Greek or the Latin words there on the headstone, these words, no hope. There's nothing worse than to be hopeless. What a terrible condition to be in. Remember there in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that Paul tells the church at Thessalonica that, you know, he explained the rapture to them and they were worried about their loved ones. And he says, oh, listen, you know, your loved ones who have fallen asleep, that's a word for death for the Christian, meaning they've gone home to be with the Lord. He says, oh, listen, yeah, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow like the world who has, or them who has no hope. You see, when our loved one goes, do we sorrow? You better believe we do. But we don't sorrow like the world does, because the world is hopeless. You see, when our spouse or whoever, grandparents or parents, when they pass, we sorrow, but we know where they are. They've gone home to be with the Lord. And we will see them again. Paul says, and remember when you were without God in the world. Imagine a world without God. I have visited countries where Jesus is not even mentioned. It is so miserable. The spiritual oppression is absolutely horrifying. Imagine a world, though, without God. Let's remove God's love. It's gone. Let's remove God's protection, his provision, his peace, his joy. Let it be gone. Matter of fact, think of a world without any knowledge of God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. Imagine a world without the Bible, without the Ten Commandments. Imagine a world where there was not one church preaching any good news. Loved one, that is a world without God. And then Paul breaks into verse 13. He says, but now. Wonderful words. But now in Christ Jesus, you, meaning the Gentiles, who were once far off, we were far off as well, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He reminds them, he says, don't ever forget this. You were way gone. You were so far away from God. You were wandering through this world. You were living in darkness. You had absolutely nothing going for you except the shadow of death. And he says, you have been brought near. How did that happen? I want you to look in your Bibles now. This is very important that you see this. There is a change from verse 12 to verse 13. In verse 12, did you notice it only says Christ or Christos? But here in verse 12, Paul changes it from the anointed one, the Messiah, to his human name, to Christ Jesus. Why is that? Jesus was added because the Christ, who is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, has now come into the world. Remember what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21? You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, Jesus said, has come to seek and save those which are lost. Boy, that is our Savior. He says, never forget that you have been brought near, not by the law, not by being good, not by any human merit, not by church membership. No, none of those things. He says, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus, meaning his sacrificial death. Boy, I thank God for that. Loved one, listen, never forget that. We learned several weeks ago, whenever it was in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have, meaning in Christ, we have redemption. We've been purchased, loved one. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Thank God for that. 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that we've not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold and so forth, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 14, he says, for he himself is our peace. He has made both one, meaning Jew, Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. The middle wall of separation, a lot of people allude to say, well, that was the wall at the temple which kept the Gentiles, or the court of the Gentiles, kept them out of the holy area. And there actually really was. There was a sign there. And the sign said, Gentiles, if you come forward into this area, you will die. And they really meant that. I don't believe that's what the Lord is talking about here at all. I believe he's talking about the entire Mosaic law, which completely separated the Jew from the Gentile. So he says, he himself is our peace. Jesus alone, alone and only Jesus, is the source of peace with God for all people. No one else. As a matter of fact, loved one, we never want to forget why we have this peace. Jesus was the price for the peace that we have with God. And God only makes peace with his Son, and there's not anyone else. I tell you what, we have true oneness, and we should never let any wall of separation come between us, because God has made us one. Now look again there in verse 14, because it says, who has made both one, two ethnic groups, if you will, Jew and Gentile, who were totally against one another and totally opposed. Now, he's made them one, not in race, but he's made them one in Christ. Remember Jesus when he was talking in that great 10th chapter of John, and he told the disciples, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says in 10:16, Jesus says, and you know what? I have other sheep, meaning just not the Jews. I have other sheep, which I have not of this fold, meaning not just of Israel. And I must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. So we know that the Lord, he says, yes, there's the Gentiles, and we're the Gentiles. And look what he did in verse 15. It says, having abolished in his flesh, meaning the actual death of Christ on the cross, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, meaning that middle wall that was separating the Jew and the Gentile. And what was that? Well, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances so as to create in himself one new man. Say that at home with me right now. One new man. And how did he do it? Look at those words. From the two, thus making peace. Now, by the death of our Lord upon the cross, for all the sins of the world, he did something. He abolished or rendered inoperative or nullified not just the law. Jesus Christ is the end of the law, okay? But he did something else. He destroyed, made inoperative, that wall of separation from Jew and Gentile. And he took and made one new man. New. This is unbelievable. From the two. Like a new race of people, if you will. It says in Romans 10:12, Paul writes, "For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek or Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." Abraham the Jew, he called, or from Ur of the Chaldees, he called upon the Lord, and now Gentiles can call upon the Lord. And whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. So what is God saying? There's no distinction anymore. There's no racial issues anymore. God doesn't have any favorites. All have sinned. Jews have sinned. Gentiles have sinned, and so forth. And that he might reconcile them both, meaning Jew and Gentile, to God, here it comes, in one body. And look how he does it. Through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now here, it's not talking about the enmity between Jew and Gentile, but between the sinner and God. Man, listen, Jesus did something. He reconciled Jew and Gentile. What did he do? He literally, if you will, he put one hand upon the head of the Jew. He put the other hand on the head of the Gentile, and he brought them together. Now listen, into himself and made them one new man. Verse 15 stated to create in himself one new man from the two. You know what the word new means? It means previously something that had never, ever existed before. It never existed before. Man, this is the totally new man. Meaning, of course, the church, the one body in which Christ is head. It says in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. God says one. No more racial distinction in Christ. More, they all vanish, if you will. We're all equals before God. No matter what race or nation or social standing or gender, we are all equal if we're in Christ. Imagine, if you will, every race on earth, every color of man, woman on earth, melted into one. That is exactly what I see here. Now listen to me. There's no such thing, and I say this without any judgment. I love everybody, man, but we teach the Word of God here, and we hold to the Word of God. You see, there's no such thing as Jewish Christianity, although we have that. I'm not beating anybody up. There's no such thing as Gentile Christianity or Korean or Chinese Christianity. There's no such thing as white Christianity or Mexican Christianity or Indian Christianity or black Christianity. Let's see if I can make everybody else mad now. Let's see. How about Baptist or Pentecostal or Calvary Chapel or Cowboy Church or First Church, Second Church, Last Church, or the only church? No, listen. There's only one church. There's only one body. Amen? Only one, loved one. Listen, there's only Christianity, one Lord, one faith, one body, one new man. And only those that are in Christ Jesus are in the body of Christ, no matter what they may call themselves.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but no worries. Pastor will conclude this message on our next broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in again. We appreciate you listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Have a great day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.